Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Back when I used to pastor children's camps, which I love doing, when I went to Crofton Baptist Church over in Hopkinsville, my senior pastor, Melvin Feltz, he couldn't wait for me to come. Because at that point, he was in his 60s, his early 60s, and he was ready for somebody else to do kids camp, right? He just, I don't have the energy, man. I need you to go sweat and run with him, okay? And so I did. I loved it. I loved doing the children's camp, and then I went to West Main in Tennessee and continued to do children's camps and all those things. But when I would go to children's camp and pastor children's camps, I had several things on my must-take-with-me list, all right? Of course, was my Bible. You got to have your Bible if you're going to church camp, right? But if you're going to go to camp, you also need some bug spray. Can I get amen? Right? Got to have some bug spray. And I don't know if this is just me or if this is everybody, but also on my list was enough socks and underwear to last me for a month, even though I was going for a week. A lot of sweating going on at camp, and so you got to stay dry. You got to get switched out regular, all right? and there were a few other things on my list, but one of the things that was always on my list was a megaphone. All right, a megaphone, because you get a bunch of kids, and they can't hear you. They get all squealy and laughy and all that stuff, and all that stuff. So you've got to be able to have a voice. You've got to pump up that volume, and so that megaphone would make my voice much louder than it really is. Well, tonight I've got a microphone in my hands, and we got Jesse back here on the board here. So with this microphone here for just a moment, I don't have a megaphone in my hands, but I have a microphone. They both basically do the same thing. They magnify, amplify sound, all right? So we're going to do a test tonight to see which sound is louder, right? They take sound, they make it louder, so we want to use this device to test which one of two things is louder, and I need you to help me determine that. Young folks, can y'all help me? Which one's louder? All right, so let's try this for a moment. All right, first, test 1, 2, is this working? All right, good. All right, so first is this. First thing I'm going to test is my words, all right? Here it is. A, B, test, 1, 2, 3. Was that very loud? Yeah, pretty loud, right? All right. Let's move to the second thing. It's this. We're going to test my actions. You ready? Was that very loud? That wasn't loud at all, was it? That wasn't loud at all, right? You see, because in the physical world, think about this for just a moment. Words usually speak louder than actions, right? Right? I can move about and walk, and you can, you know, maybe I make a little sound, but not much. But if I use my voice, my words are much louder than my actions. But in the metaphysical world, in the spiritual world, it's the exact opposite, okay? It's the exact opposite. In the metaphysical world, in the spiritual world, actions speak louder than words. Now, that's not just an American cliche, all right? We say that, and, you know, actions speak louder than words. But it's actually biblical. It's actually biblical, and we see it, or at least the spirit of that saying taught right here in Matthew 21 by Jesus. As we continue in our series, let him hear. We're walking through the parables of Jesus. So let's take a look. Let's go to Matthew 21, 23 through 32. Matthew 21, 23 through 32. We're going to hit a parable tonight that it's a very short parable. Like I said last week, with that parable, it was really long. It was the parable of the wicked servant last week, right? The one where he got forgiven by the king for this great debt, and then his buddy who owed him a little debt, he went out and choked him to get his money back, threw him in jail, okay? So there was a lot of story to that one. And some parables are that way. But most of the parables, when Jesus would use them, are actually very short. To the point. They were meant to punch, all right? And that's what, Jesus is punching here, right? He's jabbing in the name of Jesus, right? In the name of God, in the love of God, he was jabbing here and trying to open their eyes to something. So let's take a look here. Matthew 21, 23 through 32. Would somebody read that for us tonight? Actually, let's break it apart. Who would do Matthew 21, verse 23 through 22? 27, 23 through 27. Thanks, Danny. And then who would take over at 28 and read down through 32? Who would do that? Thanks, Jeannie. Look, the team is going here. All right, do it, brother.
And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question, and if you'll tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things."
All right, Jeannie. Let's pray together. Father, we see your word here. And maybe at first glance, we're not sure how it all fits together. So I pray that you would help us to fit it all together, to understand it rightly, that we might get it in our minds, that we would then get it into our hearts and live out then after it's from our mind to our heart, out into our life, that we might live this and honor you with right living. That's what we want to do, God, because we understand that actions spiritually speak louder than words. And so help us tonight to understand that and to demonstrate that in our life. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So before we get into the parable, we first have the confrontation here that brings about the need for the parable. Jesus just ain't out telling stories, okay? He's interacting with people, and when the need arises, he applies the right tool to get his point across, all right? So he comes into the temple, he begins to teach, and the chief priests and the elders, they're like, "What is he doing?" So they go up and confront him about his authority to do what he's doing. He says there, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" They were thinking, this is our authority. God gave us the authority to teach, and who is this interloper? Who is this guy coming in here? Try to take over, so to speak. And Jesus basically says, "All right, cool, guys. Great question. But before I answer your question, you have to answer my question. And if you answer my question, then I'll answer yours." That sounds fair, doesn't it? I mean, that's a fair trade. And so Jesus asks this question. You look at it here in the text. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? Really simple question. I mean, right? Seems simple enough, right? He was referring to John the Baptist, who by this time had had his head separated from his body, right? He had been arrested. He had challenged the king of the day and for his sin. And the king and his family worked it out to where he would be beheaded, all right? And so he's gone from ministry, but Jesus brings him up. The religious leaders, though, as he asks this question, they see a no-win situation here. They look at it and they say, "Oh my goodness, if we say that John's baptism was from heaven, then Jesus is going to say, then why didn't you believe him? But on the other hand, if we say from a man, not from heaven, man. It was just a man. He was just a man. Then we're afraid of the crowd because they all hold that John was a prophet." So either way, they saw trouble. So what did they do? They decided to do what? Play dumb. "Oh, we don't know, Jesus. We have no idea which one it was. I mean, you tell us, Jesus. We don't know." And so Jesus then says, and guys, this is really important. You think about the way that Jesus dealt with the world in this regard, right? He was very wise. He was very, the word I'm thinking of is not coming to mind, but just very wise in how he dealt with them. And he didn't fool around, right? He didn't pack any, you know, he didn't hold any punches back, right? He went right at it. But the question the religious leaders put to Jesus, it was basically, if you look at it here, a question of authority. That's what he was asking, right? That's what they asked him. Whose authority was he teaching under? In other words, was his authority the authority of God or not? Now, the religious leaders, they believed they were under God's authority, that they had God's authority. But they didn't believe Jesus was under God's authority. So Jesus could have left well enough alone. But he wanted to challenge their assumption that they were the ones who were under the authority of God. Because here's the deal. Sometimes people think that they're under the authority of God when actually they're not. Right? They think that they're in a relationship with God when they're actually not. And so Jesus told this parable to reveal where they stood. And that's what he does with this, all right? And you and I would be wise tonight to let the parable do that work in our hearts as well. So here's the big question for us to ponder tonight. Are you under the authority of God? Are you under the authority of God? You see, when it comes to answering this question, our parable tonight teaches two very important truths. The first one is this. Very simple tonight, very simple, all right? And so young folks, I mean, this is for y'all too. I know you're in here tonight. And so this is not rocket science, okay? You all can understand this very easily, all right? The first truth is this. It's not what you say, but what you do, all right? So whether or not you're under the authority of God is demonstrated by your actions and not by your words. And the parable helps us to understand this. First, this guy had two sons, right? Both were told by the father to go do what? Go work. And man, if his kids are just like my kids, they'd rather not, okay? They'd rather not. You know, I leave instructions to do this or do that, and I come home, and there's always some excuse of why it just didn't work out, Dad. I meant to, Dad, but I just didn't, you know, whatever, okay? And so he told his sons, go out and work in the vineyard. And he had two different responses from that. One son said just straight up, no. Oh, my goodness, right? Just think about that if your kid just straight up told you no, that would just get all over you, wouldn't it? Are you kidding me? Are you telling me no? You know? But the other son, upon receiving the command, what did he say? He basically said yes. In fact, when we read the actual response, look at verse 30. It almost seems like he's actually kind of buttering up the father, right? He doesn't just say yes or okay. He says what? He says, I go, sir. Oh, father, of course I'll go. Yes, Dad, I'm glad to go, right? He's put on a show here, it seems like. You're like highly respecting the father, utmost respect. But then we see two very different responses. So one says no, and the other one says yes. But remember, it's not what you say that demonstrates you're under the authority of God. It's what you do, all right? And so the first one says no, but then we read here in the parable, it says, I will not, but afterward, verse 29, but afterward he changed his mind and went. So we don't know what happened. Maybe he got to thinking about it. Boy, I don't want to get a whooping. You know, I mean, if Dad told me to do this, I better go do it. You know, you can fill in the blanks or your holy imagination here to sort of figure out more details to the story here. But nevertheless, he said no, but he did the job. The other one, though, said yes, but didn't do the job. We see here, again, verse 30, and he answered, I go, sir, but did not go. And then Jesus asks this really important question, which one did the will of the Father? The one who said no and did it, or the one who said yes and didn't? And the answer is the one who said no and did it, okay? And the reason is it's not what you say, but what you do. Your actions in the spiritual world speak louder than words. And we see this all throughout Scripture. For instance, 1 John 3:18 says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." Right? James 2:17 says, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." In other words, do it. Don't just hear it, do it. We could go on and on here with different passages of Scripture, but Scripture is clear that it matters not what you say, but what you do. All right? If you're under the authority of God, your actions speak louder than words. All right? Oftentimes in my life, I'm ashamed to say, I've proclaimed and claimed to be under the authority of God, but I've challenged His authority by doing my own thing. And that often happens in our life, right? That's called sin. That's called rebellion. All right? And so every one of us need to take stock tonight. Is there any rebellion right now in your life where you're saying yes to God with your mouth, but your life is saying something different? Now, we have a technical term for that, and that's called what? Hypocrisy. It's being an actor. It's being a player. It's putting on a fake front, not being true inside when you are on the outside. And God has a lot of things to say about hypocrites, all right? But it's not what you say. It's what you do. So that's the first thing. When you think about being under the authority of God tonight, are your actions demonstrating that you're under the authority of God? But the second thing, again, as a simple truth tonight, is this. It's not where you start. It's where you finish. All right? So the first one is, it's not what you say, but what you do. The second one is, it's not where you start, but where you finish. Because look here. When we go back to the sons here, we've got the sons, and one started very poorly. No, Dad. I mean, he openly, to his dad's face, rebelled. So he started off very poorly. But how did he finish? He finished in obedience. All right? The other son, though, started off very well. "Yes, Father. I'm glad to go, Father. Yes, Father. Point me in the direction, Father." And he was doing all that to his dad's face, but behind his back, he ended in disobedience. And so basically here in the parable, Jesus is basically pointing out that it's not how you start or where you start, but where you finish. And then he goes to some real world things here. He goes down here. Check out verse 31. Jesus says that, you know, he asked that question, which of the two did the will of the Father? And they answer rightly. The first one did, the one who said no and then went and did what God told him to do, or the Father told him to do. And then look what Jesus says. He says, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you." Now, when you think about standing before God, it doesn't get any lower than a prostitute or a tax collector when you're talking about biblical categories here, right? Those are the greatest of sinners. Tax collectors were scum of the earth to the Jewish mindset. Prostitutes were so unclean and so ungodly. So they start off very poorly, like the son who said to the father, "No." But look at what Jesus says. The tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. Can you imagine how much that stung me? That was a punch in the gut to these guys saying, "Are you kidding me? We are under the authority of God, and they're not." But Jesus is saying, "You're deceived. You think you are, but you're not. It's not where you start off. It's where you finish." You see, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, as he's talking about here, they were going before them into the kingdom of God. Why? Because though they said no to God in the beginning, they said yes to Christ and repented and trusted Christ, right? Do you know any tax collectors in the New Testament that this is true of? Any tax collectors? Can you think of any? Who's that? Yeah, Matthew, yeah. He's talking about himself here, right? Absolutely. And how about any prostitutes? Can you think of any? Mary, that's right. And so we've got real world examples, real life examples, guys. And for us sometimes in the church, we think, oh, they are so sinful. But Jesus says nobody is too far gone, right? Even the lowest of low. And maybe in today, listen, I know it's 2019, so, I mean, you know, they write articles lauding the good of prostitution, all that junk now, right? So maybe that's not the lowest of low anymore. But so whatever you think today in 2019 the lowest of low in America is, know that it's not where they start out, it's where they finish. If they'll turn and trust in Christ, they will get into the kingdom of heaven long before that old religious person who does not know Jesus. And that's the beauty of the kingdom of God. But also, look here. The tax collector and the prostitutes believed in him. And then he digs right here. He says, but even though you saw it, look here. Look at verse 32. For John came to you in the way of righteousness. So he's going back to John here. And you didn't believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did believe him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him. So not only did John come proclaiming truth, but he had fruit from his preaching that should have said, oh my goodness, if a prostitute's getting saved, if a prostitute is turning from that life and coming into righteousness, then this dude must be from God. But their hearts were so hard that even when they saw these amazing works, these amazing life changes here, they still didn't believe John. They still, in hardness of heart, turns against him, right? And here we have, again, it's not where you start, but where you finish. And these folks here, the chief priests and the elders here, where do they start off? They start off very high, right? In the religious life. But in the end, they end very poor, because in the end, they don't know God. It's not where you start, but where you finish. You know, I guess it's been 2 weeks now, but maybe you heard the news of Josh Harris, right? Josh Harris, Christian author. He's been a pastor. He's probably taught seminary classes and all those things. This is a book that he wrote. In fact, not this exact book, but it was a different edition. Sat right over here in our recommended reading. It's no longer there anymore. It was a book called Dug Down Deep, and this is basically a theology book, and you read it, and it is so good. I mean, it was so good. I mean, it's all true. It's right. It's biblical. It's all those things. But a couple weeks ago, Josh first announced that he was divorcing his wife, and then a couple weeks later, he announced that he was basically divorcing Christianity. He said, I can no longer buy any stretch of the imagination, call myself a Christian. And so here we have somebody who started off very strong, it seemed, but then he finished very poorly. And we pray he comes back, right? That's our prayer, that this is not apostasy. This is just a falling away for a moment. This is just a backslide, or what we want to call it. But it's not where you start. It's where you finish. And I just want to encourage you all. If you've fallen, get back up and be obedient again. Follow God. Trust in God. Be obedient. What the Father tells you to do, go do it. Even if in the moment you say no, and we've all done that, right? God says, do it. And we say, no, I don't want to do that. And we go do our own thing. But would you turn and repent and then go and do what God told you to do? That's how you demonstrate that you are under the authority of God. And if you don't, then you are not under the authority of God. Just plain and simple. You are outside. You are a rebel against God. Oftentimes, when you think about the tension, you've got four different categories here that we could really think about. So the first one is the one who says yes and goes and does it, right? Jesus doesn't talk about that person. That's the one we really want to be, right? The Father says, do this, and we say, yeah, and then we go do it. That's called a person of integrity, right? What you say, your words match your actions. That's what we want to be. But these other two guys here are not people of integrity. Right? They say one thing and do the other. One says no and then goes and does it, which, praise God, he changed his mind. The other one says yes and doesn't do it. But guys, we're seeing something today that we really need to be wary of, and it's this. It's those who basically say, maybe kind of like Josh Harris or others, who say, I'm tired of living a lie. I'm doing what the Father tells me to do, but I will not do that anymore. I want to walk away from that, all right? I want to believe and do the same thing. I can't believe this and live that. But guys, we've got to reject that. We've got to reject that. We always got to strive. We know that our life has to match up with integrity, but we want to be the one who says yes and does the will of the Father, all right? So here's my final prayer for us tonight as we wrap up. My final prayer is this. May we say right and do right as we seek to gladly submit ourselves to God through Jesus Christ. That's what we're about. Are you under the authority of God? If there's rebellion in your life anywhere right now, then I pray that you would tonight even, in time with God, come back under his authority and be blessed.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.